All right. Let me make sure my internet feels like it's a little choppy. I'm trying to figure this out. All right, here we go. You know, Brad, the goal of golf is to play the least amount of golf possible. And Auburn baseball kind of channeled that thought this weekend, sweeping Wright State, but two of them being run rule victories. So I kind of want to talk about it. I'm Lindsey Crosby. He's Brad Law. Welcome into the Barn Baseball Show. Sonny DeShera is traveling to spring training right now, so he's not with us today. But Brad, let's talk about this Auburn baseball victory over Wright State. 11-0 on Friday, 11-1 on Saturday. Both of those are seven inning games. And then a 9-4 win on Sunday. Remind me, what was your prediction for this series?
I think I predicted a series win.
Right.
I might have officially said 2 out of 3 just because that's the baseline for a series win. I'll tell you, I didn't expect 2 run rule victories as a part of a sweep. This was really impressive against a team that is picked to win the Horizon League. This is not a team picked 7th in the Horizon League. This team picked to win the league. And so if you're talking about postseason capable teams, they've gone to regionals, 3 years in a row? I mean, they've been they're a good team. And I think this win says an awful lot about the team, and it's both sides of the ball. They hit over 400. They pitched well. This is an important weekend, I think, for this team.
Yeah, it was something Butch said on Sunday. This was my favorite offensive performance that we've had this year. I mean, just all around, this team did really well. And I think when you look at offensive first, because that's what, you know, chicks dig the long ball, as John Smoltz used to say, and Greg Maddux. Three different players hit 500 on the weekend. Derek Fabian, 8-16, 2 homers. Ike Irish, 9-18, a homer. And just a defensive showcase on Sunday from behind the plate. And then Cooper McMurray goes 9-18, 5 RBI. What was the big takeaway for you just doing all three of these games up in the booth and watching this offense up close for the weekend?
When Ike is hitting well and Cooper is hitting well, it helps Fabian hit well, like even better. He was probably the best hitter the first weekend. I mean, I think he led the team in hits coming out of the first weekend. Mm-hmm. But if you add to that Ike and Cooper, who have been the dependable guys at the plate the last 2 years, it enhances what he can do. I liked Eric Snow in the leadoff spot. He got on base. He got home. I think my takeaway was there's not really a spot in the order where you start to pick on. There's not a spot in the order where if you look down at your scorebook as an Auburn fan, you go, well, we got these guys coming up, so I'm not sure what we're going to get going this inning. Or if you're the opposing pitcher, you go, well, maybe I can relax a little bit. Because even a guy like Chase Frelick, mm-hmm, I mean, he goes 6-for-12 on the weekend. 6 hits in the series. They were all singles. A couple of them were backside. Big guy hitting backside singles. Mm-hmm. That was my takeaway, is you had a lot of really balanced at bats. You had guys who didn't matter going opposite or didn't mind going opposite field. You got 6 home runs. You did a little bit of everything over the weekend. So it just balanced and locked in too, Lindsey. They ran the bases well. They made good decisions on sacrificing guys and bunting them. They played small ball some. They played long ball when they could. It was just a very complete, buttoned up offensive performance. What about you?
I think it's the comment about, you know, like they were willing to bunt. You saw guys doing both. Right. Mm-hmm. We had, I want to say, I think it was, you know, we had multiple guys who were hitting home runs and laying down bunts, but the base running stood out to me. We've had weekends where the games were maybe a little bit closer than they should have been because you made some base running mistakes, because either you were too aggressive or not aggressive enough. And this weekend felt like it was aggression on the base paths, but I'm going to call it controlled aggression. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, we're sending guys, but it was good decisions. And I want to say there was only maybe one or two times that I can remember all weekend where a guy got thrown out on the base paths trying to be aggressive. I'm thinking about Cooper McMurray at third. I think that was Sunday, maybe getting thrown out. But for the most part, getting the maximum possible results out of every situation. That's kind of what it felt like. Just playing efficient baseball and seeing how many, to your point, how many guys in the lineup were able to get on base. Off the top of my head, I want to say everybody in the lineup on Sunday had a hit.
Yep.
And then seeing what Auburn was able to do with that, right? They weren't giving up, like they weren't stranding a ton of runners. They were able to get guys over and get them in. Is going to bode well when you get into conference play and those opportunities aren't as frequent and it's tougher to convert them. The fact that they're doing so well at converting them now makes me feel good for when the intensity ratchets up as soon as this weekend, right? You're heading to that tournament out there in Texas.
Let me give you some extra too, some extra bases.
Okay.
Extra bases. Can you get extra bases? Can you keep the other team from getting extra bases? And can you take away bases from them? Auburn turned 5 double plays against Wright State in 23 innings or 25 innings or whatever it was. They I guess 25. No, 23.
23.
Yeah.
23. I can't do that. 23.
5 double plays in 23 innings. 6 if you count a strike them out, throw them out double play that they got Sunday.
Which we should.
Yeah.
We should.
Auburn has, for the year, they're 16 for 18 stealing bases. And this isn't like Cooper Weiss has 90% of them and a few guys have one or two. Fabian has 4. Blue has 7. Bristol has 3.
Yeah.
So they're spacing it out. The opponents are 1 for 8. Have you ever seen a team throw out 7 of 8 base stealers to start a season, Lindsay?
It's honestly a little bit absurd. I wondered on Sunday at what point would they stop trying to run on Ike? It was, I want to say there was 2 caught stealings at second, 1 at third, and a back pick at first in the first, 5 innings?
First 7 outs of the game.
First 7 outs of the game. And to me, if there's anything you know about this Auburn baseball team, it's that Ike Irish behind the plate is a defensive weapon, and you can't just assume you can run on him.
No, you can't. Nobody has successfully this year. They're 0-3 against him. But it's not just – I mean, Frelich is throwing guys out, too. It's – you know, either one that you have back there has the ability to throw you out at second base. That is a huge weapon. We saw that 3 years ago with Nate LaRue. To the point that teams knew about, like, the second half of conference play, teams didn't try all that much.
Yeah, they just stopped trying. The Nate LaRue mention makes me ask you this, because we saw Frelich get 2 starts behind the plate over the weekend. Ike was in the outfield. And Ike was behind the plate on Sunday. And going into the season, we discussed on this show how often you were going to want to play Ike and whether or not he'd be behind the plate. But Cole Strickland hasn't made a start yet behind the plate. I think Lucas Steele maybe has 1 behind the plate. He's been DH'd a couple times. Is there a point similar to that Nate LaRue season where you make a switch and you say Ike is our guy behind the plate? Or do you keep rotating like this where all these different guys get playtime simply because of everybody's been good back there, but it almost feels like Ike's on a different level?
Well, it's a good question, because I think if you were to look at the analytics of maybe some stolen strikes, the framing that these guys do, I think Frelich's outperformed Irish to this point in that metric. Now, nobody's going to battle the way Ike battles. The confidence with which he backpicked at first base to get that out, like his overall feel for the game, nobody's going to be better Now, I'm not saying he's leading Chase in that department by a ton, but it is different. You have a different kind of competitive, and it's fueled by experience and a competitive fire. So I do like that from Ike, but I do like what Chase gives you from a framing and stealing strikes and that sort of thing too. I think it's a one. We talked before the season. It's a great problem to have. Yeah. Because you could DH Ike for a game and bring him back to catch the next game. You just flip those two guys in the DH role. Like either one of them can catch or DH. You could put Ike in right field one game a weekend if you wanted to, or catch him twice and DH him once, and catch Chase once and DH him twice. Or I think at this point they're still sorting that out, but it wouldn't surprise me if you rotated him throughout the season, because they both give you something very beneficial.
Yeah, it almost feels like you need an injury somewhere else to maybe make this decision for you. Not that obviously we ever want injuries, but if you look at the third, like at the infield, how you had more guys than spots, and as soon as Eric Guevara's hamstring injury went down, you've had a pretty static infield now of Fabian and Snow and Chris Rembert, who we haven't even gotten to yet, scored runs in all three games, looked good defensively at second.
It
kind of feels like because I can factor into the outfield picture, you're almost in a situation where you've had to bench somebody in almost every game. Cade Blue didn't play on Sunday because you were trying to get other guys time, and you had Bub Terrell starting in the outfield. And again, good problem to have.
I was just gonna say, what do you do when Eric comes back? I mean, Eric's 3-for-12 for the year with three doubles, and Rembert is 4-for-17 with a homer and four runs scored. I don't think you sit Snow. He's at 385 through the first eight ball games of the year. Who do you sit? You're not sitting Fabian. And somebody, like, this is a terrific situation to be in.
Yeah, do you try Chris Rembert in the outfield at that point? And if you do, which of the outfielders doesn't play, right?
Yeah.
You can't have Ike and Frelick, DH and catcher together, and then still have Bub Terrell in the lineup if you have Cade and if you have your two outfielders and then Chris Rembert's your third guy. It's going to be a lot of rotation, I feel like. And I am curious about the time that Eric misses, right? Hamstrings are always kind of scary things, and you never know what they're going to do. And with this big tournament coming up this week, and I don't want to jump too far ahead, we're going to preview that later in the week, but you're in a situation where obviously it's a higher level of competition, and you either substitute more guys in because you are worried about platoon situations, or you stick with a core 9-10 guys that you want offensively in every game. We'll kind of see how they approach that. I do think it might be a little bit different. Do want to get into the pitching, though, because staff ERA under 2 versus Wright State. And shout out to George with the program. Great, some great notes in here about Auburn had a stretch from the fourth inning Tuesday. So we're counting the Texas A&M, the Troy game here.
Yeah.
Through the fourth inning Sunday, Auburn allowed 3 runs in 33 innings. And that's without Cade Fisher, who you'll actually get to hear from a little bit later this week. Embarrassment of riches here too, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, all of a sudden through 8 games, it appears that your bullpen is a strength of your team. It's depth. The way Everett Tieford is working with those guys and their strategy, this strategy of 9-1, throw strikes, don't give up extra. Like Sunday, we talked to Butch Thompson after the game, and he was very clearly not happy. And the thing he was unhappy about is that Christian Chatterton walked 3 batters and that Jet Johnston walked 3 batters. Jack got the win, but he had to get a double play and he had to pitch around a little bit of trouble. Chatterton pitched well, but he had to work out of some trouble. He gave up leadoff base runners and things of that nature. They are really driving home, and they're not coming off this point. They're driving home high strike percentage and let your defense make plays. And man, when they have been in tune with that and in line with it, this pitching staff has looked like a really well-oiled machine through the first two weekends.
One of the big takeaways that I've noticed, to your point of how they're not giving up on this, is when you look at the Auburn Baseball Analytics Twitter account, AU Base Analytics, and they have all of the stats on the guys, every pitcher graphic has their strike percentage from the game. And that's not, I mean, obviously we've talked about it, and we can say, hey, the program is judging guys based off of how much they're throwing strikes. But you can go and you can look in the game as tweeting, hey, Hayden Murphy was, 65% strikes, you know, in his scoreless inning that he did. And like they're going through on all of these different pitchers, and it's, they're making this publicly available. We want you to know.
Yeah.
These guys are, you know, Jackson Sanders, 2 1/3 innings, no runs, no walks, 95% strikes.
Yeah.
He's just pounding the zone.
And he gave up 3 singles. He didn't give up a walk.
Nope.
He didn't hit anybody. He didn't give up, you know, like he gave up 3 singles.
Yeah.
Okay. You can live with that.
Yeah.
Like if you're going to, they've made it to focus. They've said, if we're going to get beat, it's because guys are just gorilla balling us to death. They're going to hammer doubles and homers and things like that. So keep it down in the zone, throw strike, keep it down or keep it on the corner. And man, if teams hit that consistently, okay, some are, you're going to have individual games. You might have series against this really talented SEC where that happens. Might happen back-to-back games. But when you pitch 5 2/3 innings like Samuel Dutton did and you walked 1 and you gave up 7 singles, Auburn gave up 1 homer. It was a big one.
Cam Tilley.
Boy, it was a big one.
Yeah,
but on Sunday. They gave up 1 homer and 1 double. They gave up 2 extra base hits. All weekend. 23 innings.
Yeah.
You win a lot of games when you minimize the walks and the extra base hits.
Yeah, and the closest game is the one where both of those happened. They were both on Sunday. Judderton had the double. Cam Tilley had the home run. And, I mean, outside of that homer from Tilley, no walks, 3 strikeouts in 1 2/3 innings. I mean, out of his 5 outs, 3 of them are strikeouts. So, same thing. Guys are just giving you strikes, and they're seeing what you can do with them. And we've talked about how good this defense is behind them, even with the Guevara injury and having to move guys around. Still a very good defense with a lot of shortstops.
Yeah. What's interesting to me is how our team's going to start swinging earlier in counts. Are they going to start counting on strikes? And, you know, then you get into a little bit of cat and mouse because there's not a lot out on some of these Auburn pitchers for the opponents to scout. Now you're starting to see that. Like now we know what Samuel Dutton looks like in the orange and blue through 2 appearances. Now they know a little more on Chatterton. Now they've seen Petrovic a couple of times, and you know, you're just starting, you know, Jet Johnston has pitched twice. Is he the most pleasant surprise from the Auburn pitching staff through these first 8 games?
If you had asked me who was going to have 2 wins at this point in time in the season, and if it wasn't a starter, I probably would have said John Armstrong, because there's been seasons where he's vultured a ton of stuff early. But
John Armstrong
threw 1 pitch all weekend. It worked. He got the out, but 1 pitch all weekend. Auburn goes 3-0. No, Johnston, I mean, he's got, I think, 4 strikeouts, 4 innings. The velocity's been really good. He's given up 1 hit.
Yeah.
So he's walked a couple, right? So, I mean, he's faced 16 batters.
Yeah.
But it's hard to be mad about what you're seeing. There's the alliterative name thing again, right? Griffin Graves, Jet Johnston, all these guys. But we touched on the home run that Cam Tilley gave up. I do want to, a little bit of strategic, we're not going to know the answer to this today. We're all just kind of speculating. But opening weekend, Tilley pitched on Saturday.
Yeah.
And they brought him back on Tuesday for that Troy game. Pitching on Sunday this weekend, he's not going to come back for Samford on Tuesday. It's too short of a turnaround. Do we think, or is it possible that maybe this is an accommodation for if Cade Fisher can't go on the weekend, or we just want some more bulk, Tilley should be lined up to pitch multiple innings over the weekend while you're in Texas against those the trio of Power Five teams.
Maybe. I think that's a fair thought. I'm very curious to see. I mean, there's no reason if Fisher's out again, I didn't see any reason to go like to do anything different than what Auburn did with its starters this weekend. Now, part of the reason they were able to pitch as economically Saturday is because they pitched economically Friday. They still had so many options Friday because, again, John's one pitch came in Friday's game. And, you know, Dutton had a longer outing. So you only had to use three guys on Friday. So who knows? You know, do you get into a situation where you have to use more guys against Ohio State? Or, you know, do you plan it differently knowing that Saturday game is Oregon State? They're a top 10 team. And that's kind of the you know, a lot of eyeballs will be on that matchup over the weekend. I don't know. I'm curious to see what they do with that. Tilly's a guy who can give you multiple innings, though, for sure.
Yeah, the pitching plan for this weekend is going to be really interesting. And we'll obviously, the last show of the week, we're going to preview the weekend a little more in depth, and we'll have a better idea of what Auburn's going to do at that point. I'm sure they don't know at this point. Who do you think's been the biggest, like, what is the biggest surprise on the pitching side this year? You touched on Jet Johnston, maybe. I think Sam Dutton converting from relief to starting and giving you 5 2/3 scoreless in his second. I want to say his second start at Auburn, but maybe his second career start. It's kind of a thing to me. What's been the biggest surprise for you? Is it Jet, like you mentioned?
Probably. It's probably the fact that we've seen John Armstrong and Ryan Hetzler for a total of 2 innings. Think about that. We haven't talked about Ryan at all. This guy was a closer out west last year. And we've seen him once this year for 1 inning in a game that was totally out of control. So we haven't really seen him in a crunch time situation. I mean, the depth is what is, you know, I could point to Jackson Sanders having 6 2/3 innings and being one guy that's already pitched 3 times. I don't know that I expected that with Lindsey John only pitching twice. You know, like, I don't know that I expected that split at this point in the year. And I think that just spells great things. It was good to see Dylan Watts bounce back and have a better relief outing over the weekend after 3 walks the first time. So there's just such a deep I don't know that I expected, even though in our pitching show, we said, you don't have a lot of proven options, but you got a lot of options.
Yeah.
I don't think I expected him to look like this. I expected him to look good. But this is really genuinely encouraging from the bullpen.
I think the biggest thing for me on that point in the depth is the fact that you're not needing to overuse anybody. You mentioned, like, there's only 2 guys we've even seen 3 times, and it's Tilly and Jackson Sanders. Everybody else is a max of 2 appearances. The most innings anybody has that has not started a game is 4. Right? Yeah. Parker Carlson, 2 outings, 4 innings. Jet Johnson, 4 innings. Alex Parker. Petrovic.
I didn't even mention Parker. Parker's pitched 4 innings, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts, no hits allowed. And like a 90% strike rate. I mean, like 16 of his first 17 pitches the other night were strikes. So we've not, like, you're not even tapping into the core of these guys yet through 8. And I know it's 8 games. So we're still, I don't know, quick math. What is that, like 14% through your regular season? Probably. So you're still you're very, very early. But, you know, having 2 guys that have made 3 appearances and guys you thought would have made a lot, you know, maybe 2 or 3, only having 1. You're in a good spot.
Yeah. The injuries are coming. Like, injuries always happen in baseball. The most harmful thing you can do as a pitcher is pitch. It's not good for your body. And so the fact that Auburn hasn't had to overuse anybody, the fact that you've gotten a lot of guys' experience, and I think it's not an accident that you've gotten a lot of young guys' experience. You know what John Armstrong is. You know what Parker Carlson is, and you know what Hayden Murphy is. But you had questions about who Jet Johnston was as a pitcher. You had questions about what Christian Chatterton would do pitching in college. And Same thing on the offensive side, right? Like, you know, how would Chase Frelick handle college? How would Chris Rimbert handle college? Bob Terrell, how would he transition? And so getting all of these young guys the playing time now feels like it's going to pay off as you get into conference play. They're not going to feel like freshmen, and hopefully they right. won't feel like they're freshmen when you're in mid-April and you're facing an SEC rotation for a weekend, but they've already faced future big leaguers from Ohio State and Oregon State and Baylor. And they've already been through, you know, 30 at-bats in college, or they've already pitched five times. And that, I think, to me is maybe an advantage that Auburn hasn't necessarily had in recent years, of being able to play the young players without the pressure of having to perform.
An example of that would be a guy like Cole Edwards, right? Yeah. He gets an opportunity. So there's some internal pressure that comes with that. Like, all right, this is my first start. This is my first chance to get out there this year. But it also shows the depth of the bench. He comes in, goes 2-for-4 homers on a ball that left his bat at 111 or 112 miles an hour. That's what you have. That's the kind of guys that you have sitting there and waiting for an opportunity. And hopefully they can channel that right mentally, where they come in and they go, I don't have pressure on me here. I'm a part of a big team and a team that's hitting very well. I'm just going to go out and do my job here.
There you go. Kind of the last thing I kind of want to get here before we get out of here is Sam Dutton after that start on Friday. I feel like one of the issues you've had for Auburn in the last maybe two seasons is the inability to build around a guy for the weekend. Sam Dutton, does he feel like the stuff, the competitiveness, like this is a guy who you can count every week and he's going to be able to go out and give us, even if it's not 6 or 7 innings, at least keep us in the game and we can build a rotation around what Sam Dutton can give us?
I think we're getting closer to there. With any of these guys who are doing it at Auburn for the first time, you want to see maybe 3 to 4 weeks worth of appearances, of starts. But I'll tell you what I liked. I love the pitch plan against Wright State. I love the fact that Sam would go after guys with the same pitch. He had 3 or 4 of his strikeouts. He had 7 strikeouts, which he back-to-back weeks now with 7 strikeouts.
Yeah.
What he did was go after him with the same pitch. He just won the chess match. You're like, all right, they just saw a curveball. So surely they're going to look fastball here. No, go back to the curveball. Now it's 0-2. All right, well, now they're going to be looking for something else. Right back to the curveball, strike 3, go sit down. So the next guy comes up and it's fastball, strike 1. Okay, now he's going to look for the curve because that's what he used to strike out the guy before him. No, fastball 0-2. Well, now what's he going to throw? Is it the slider? Is it the cutter? Is it the chain? Is it? No, it's another fastball. Go sit down. The confidence to do that, he did it to back-to-back hitters at one point in the game, says a lot, I think, about Sam. And the fact that he's got those pitches in his repertoire, he's got 4 pitches he can throw for strikes consistently, called strikes, or get swings and misses with them, and get guys off balance and in between swings on their bat. Yeah, I think you're getting close to saying that, you know, you're ready to count on him to do that. And I don't even think, given if the bullpen does what we think it could do, Lindsay, I don't, like, if you could get between 4 and 5 from 2 starters a weekend, I think the bullpen gives you enough to get to the finish line.
Yeah, it feels like you have the depth to be in all 3 games, provided 2 of your guys can do that. And if your 3rd game, like what you did last Saturday, you need 2 guys to go 2 and change, and you kind of piece together 1 starter. Mm-hmm. You recreate a starter in the aggregate, to steal from Moneyball. I watched it just the other day. You have enough to. I do it every spring training. I watch it every spring training. It's great, but like, it's a place we haven't been in a while, and it makes you feel good about the ceiling of the team and where they can go. I think it was last week that this feels like a team that could, if everything breaks right, host a regional, and nothing that happened this weekend has dissuaded me from that. And I think that's just really nice to think about.
No, yeah, I agree with you. These aren't SEC teams, and I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to crown anybody. I'm not trying to give anybody any rings or banners or, you know, book any flights anywhere just yet. But let's don't get lost in the name of these opponents. These are preseason picks to win their league. Mm-hmm. These are postseason caliber teams. Are they teams you should take two or three from? Yep.
Yep.
And they did. They took two of three from Holy Cross. They swept Wright State. They beat Troy in a ranked-on-ranked matchup. They beat North Alabama. Like, this isn't...
It's not fluky.
No, it's not fluky. And something in that Troy game woke them up, I think, from a competitive standpoint. And we've seen a difference in them these last five ball games. Hopefully, we see it again against Samford. Hopefully, we get to see it on display in Arlington this weekend, and it continues this momentum, because there's legit, I mean, objectively, there's a lot of momentum right now.
Yeah. And credit to Sonny DeShera, you mm-hmm. know, our co-host who's not here today, he said that exact thing, that Troy win is going to be a differentiator for this program moving forward. So credit to him, give him his flowers for that. Just like I'm giving myself flowers for calling the sweep last week when we did the preview of the series.
Yes, you did.
I put it in the rundown and sent the screenshot to everybody. All right, we're back. Two more shows coming this week. We've got an interview with Cade Fisher. You guys are going to enjoy it. He was really great. Just kind of talking about the injury and where he is, this team, his background. And then end of the week, we're going to come back with a preview of this trip to Arlington. Again, you're taking on Ohio State. You're taking on Oregon State. You're taking on Baylor. Really great test and another good road trip that can do a lot to bring a program together. But in the meantime, if you're listening on audio, do us a favor. You know, tell your friends. They can go watch they can listen to the Barn Baseball Show. If you're on YouTube, hey, while you're here, subscribe to the channel. Hit the notification bell so you know when we drop these next episodes. And until next time, for Brad Law, I'm Lindsey Crosby. This has been the Barn Baseball Show.